This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
The Indigenous visual arts sector is hailed as, quote, one of the outstanding successes of arts policy making and patronage in Australia since the early 1970s. A key factor in the success of the Indigenous arts sector is arguably the presence and support of the Community Arts Centre. This paper will look into the roles of the Aboriginal Arts Centre and how the 2007 Senate Standing Committee report conceptualizes and understands these roles. Moreover, this paper will examine definitions of success in relation to what an arts centre is expected to be and what it actually is, using Howard Morphy's concept of cross-cultural categories. One of the things made clear from the Senate's 2007 report is the committee's belief that Aboriginal arts centres can achieve economic independence from the government if only a good model and pathway can be found and or developed. However, the more an arts centre becomes involved in its community, the more its activities move away from art production and marketing. And in these scenarios, art centres are in need of more government funding and the likelihood of achieving economic independence dims. I want to put forth the argument that an Aboriginal arts centre needs to be seen as a fundamentally different thing than a mainstream community arts centre. As a consequence, an Aboriginal arts centre's engagement with its community is directly proportional to the amount of Commonwealth funding it should receive, because that community engagement makes up for the lack of government presence and services, as well as mainstream infrastructures. It will become clear that the correlation between making money and making a community in very remote Australia is inherently contrary and can only happen in very specific and rare circumstances. It is possible to combine economic independence with community development, but as this paper will show, it comes at a price and is based somewhat on serendipity rather than good business practice. These unique situations are not the models on which to base an arts policy. In August of 2006, the Senate Standing Committee on Environment, Communications, Information Technology, and the Arts, hereafter the Senate report, began an inquiry into and report on the Indigenous visual arts and crafts sector. The aims of the inquiry are well known by now and are presented behind me. As illustrated in the number of references, the concept of sustainability was an important one for the committee. However, as will become evident, implied within ideas of sustainability are issues of economic independence from government funding. This implication is made apparent in the report's association of success with the amount of funding an art center receives from the government, i.e., an art center is successful if it is financially independent from Commonwealth funding, and it is therefore unsuccessful if it is still receiving such funding. The committee then mentioned 2 out of the 110 art centers which achieve such success. Associating the success of an art center with its level of government funding is tantamount to defining success in such a narrow framework as to ignore the numerous activities in which an art center engages. I wish to use Howard Morphy's concept of a cross-cultural category of art historical anthropology to illustrate the pitfalls such associations can create. Morphy writes that anthropology, by definition, is, quote, a form of cross-cultural discourse which establishes equivalences through the creation of cross-cultural categories, end quote. Some examples of cross-cultural categories include religion, kinship, marriage, land rights, or artistic practices. The challenge of a cross-cultural definition, according to Morphy, is, quote, allow what was and is to be different to remain, despite its placement within a more inclusive category, end quote. Morphy warns against taking this concept too far, writing that some categories are more limited than others and universalisms must always, quote, be open to question. I would argue that the Art Center needs to be treated as a cross-cultural category and that the Senate report does neither recognize such a distinction nor question the assumption the report's universalisms entail. This lack of critical awareness is evident throughout the Senate's findings. On Wednesday, the 21st of February in 2007, the Senate report held a hearing in Alice Springs to hear from stakeholders within the Indigenous arts and crafts sector. When talking with Papunyatula manager Mr. Paul Sweeney, Chairman Eggleston made the following statement slash question. I love the fact that you are not getting any government money. At the same time, you are doing that community development work, and I acknowledge very clearly that the art centers do that community development work. It's not just an art area, it is a community development area as well. But you seem to be doing the same, and you are doing it all without a cent of government money. Why isn't your model the right model for everyone? Mr. Sweeney's response was understandably vague, stating that his experience was limited to Petunia Tula only, and that he couldn't speak for other art centers. Eggleston's assumption, though, you seem to be doing the same, reflects his lack of knowledge of the local art histories which created the Central Desert Art Movement and Petunia Tula's success. And I'll come back to this point in a moment. The next section of this paper will outline some of the definitions, functions, and roles of an art center, as well as provide a comparison of two art center models in order to complicate the chairman's question/assumption. The cross-cultural category of art center is not a universal one and must be understood in both a Western and Indigenous framework. Community art centers are defined in many different ways. Australia's Council for the Arts defines a community art center as a creator of, quote, bridges of understanding, regeneration, and opportunity, end quote. Definitions of an Aboriginal art center can vary according to their functions and obligations. The Senate report defines an art center as, quote, an Indigenous-owned and operated entity generally located on an Indigenous community, end quote. This definition is too general to have any real meaning, though. 10 years earlier in the Art and Craft Center story, Felicity Wright defines an art center as, quote, any organization operating in remote Australia that is owned and controlled by Aboriginal people, where the principal activity is facilitating the production and marketing of arts and crafts. Wright's definition focuses on the commercial aspects of an art center, although the rest of her report does much to describe the socio-cultural aspects as well. The Association of Northern Kimberley and Arnhem Aboriginal Artists, or ANCA, defines an art center's role as a protector of cultural property, as a resource for materials, and as a general arts and culture facilitator. As other definitions of art centers have also emphasized, art centers are located on country where opportunities for Aboriginal people are limited. DesArt, the Association of Central Australian Aboriginal Art and Art Centers, outlines 7 roles of the art center: as a place for cultural maintenance, as a place of emotional and personal renewal, as a place of work and earning income, as a distributor to market, as an avenue for strengthening the community, as a place of learning, and as a place of respite and care. DesArt is also quick to point out the many other services provided beyond art production and marketing. The social benefits include a safe place to meet and talk, a place to help for filling out government forms, accessing the internet, finding a ride to another community, and allowing for space in which youths can engage in cultural activities. Another key benefit and service provided is cultural maintenance, where art centers are, quote, a significant contributor in sustaining a cohesive and socially healthy community. As may be becoming clear, art centers do more than just art production. Given the diversity of Aboriginal community across remote Australia, one cannot define an art center based on a single model. Of note, the Department of Communications, Information Technology, and the Arts states, some art centers operate as highly successful enterprises, while others have more of a community arts development focus. The juxtaposition of a highly successful enterprise next to and even against the community arts development focus is an important one. When De Sita's statement exists, the crux of the problem in which desiring a single art center model can be. Which one of the art centers is the one to be modeled after? This is especially problematic in the arts industry, where fads and trends can dictate success as much as hard work and sound business practice. With a strong idea of the variety of different functions and objectives art centers occupy in general, it is now beneficial to compare two art center models in order to appreciate how complicated the desire for a single model can be. I have chosen Petunia Tula Artists, or PTA, and Maningrida Arts and Cultures, or MAC, as the two models to compare based on their differences in structure and success. More importantly, this comparison will demonstrate how the art center's approach to their communities and their artists create a very complicated model for economic independence. Petunia Tula Artists is an arts organization owned and operated by Aboriginal artists comprising Laritja and Pintipi language groups. PTA supports 160 artists in 3 communities and functions with 9 full-time staff and 2 part-time staff and a fleet of 4 Toyota Troop carriers. The company is self-funded and has been without government support for over 10 years. The aim of the PTA is to, quote, to promote individual artists, provide economic development for the communities to which they belong, and assist in the maintenance of a rich cultural heritage, end quote. PTA's community involvement work includes helping to raise over $900,000 for a swimming pool in the Kintore community, and from 2000 to 2007, donating over $1 million towards a remote renal dialysis unit and associated programs. PTA's approach towards its artists is fundamental to its success. The troop carriers are used to deliver canvas and art materials to the communities where the artists execute their work on country, and PTA states that they are committed to their artists and admit to, quote, being very fortunate in that there is a great deal of natural talent in the area where we work. And, quote, basically, it comes back to a very good product which compares well on the market. Maningrida Arts and Culture, or MAC, is located in central Arnhem Land and is one of the oldest Aboriginal art centres in Australia, supporting over 790 artists in over 34 outstations. MAC has a total acquisition policy, which means that the art centre buys all work presented to its doors. As stated in their submission to the Senate report, this practice, quote, creates certainty and security for artists, ensures that their work is treated with respect, encourages the career of young and emerging artists, and provides an income to aging artists who are no longer producing their best work. MAC has 10 full-time staff with the National Arts and Crafts Industry Supporting Strategy Program funding the salaried positions, and 6 Aboriginal staff under the CDP scheme. During the financial year 2005-06, MAC's turnover was $1.7 million, with $1.1 million given directly back to artists. In addition to buying and selling art, MAC engages in many cultural maintenance activities, such as production of dictionaries, musical recordings, preserving community archives, supporting researchers and students, and has exhibited in over 20 exhibitions across Australia and the world. MAC is also one of the largest employers of Aboriginal people within their region. So, if economic independence from government funding is the most desired trait in an art centre, then why is PTA not the model for all art centres? In summing up the committee's view on the success of art centres, it is clear PTA was held up as one of those models of success. Along with the Jirrawong Arts Corporation, the report states, quote, these organizations currently require no government support while delivering significant benefits to their communities, end quote. The community recommended that an understanding of these organizations will help, quote, identify potential pathways for success of Indigenous arts business. Moreover, quote, the committee is aware that there is a range of views about how art centers should do business, but it is clear that one of the secrets to Pupunyatilla's commercial success has been its aggressive and disciplined approach to the market, as well as its careful nurturing of long-term relationship with artists. What should become apparent, however, is that the major difference between MAC's engagement with community and PTA's engagement is that aggressive and disciplined approach. How does that translate into community development and involvement? If one were to compare dollars donated to large-scale projects funded, PTA would be the ideal model. However, MAC's total acquisition policy is not without its drawbacks either. Sometimes MAC acquires material that is hard to turn around and sell. For example, there can be an overabundance of fiberwork and beaded jewelry. However, PTA's funding and financial success is based on circumstances which border on luck. But Pupunyatilla, as Mr. Sweeney has stated, does have extraordinary talent. The 2007 show at the National Museum of Australia, Pupunya Painting Out of the Desert, showcased the rare and amazing talent within the Central Desert. This type of international acclaim, cultural transformation, does not happen more than once, if it happens at all. As Peter Thornley and Andy Greensdale have demonstrated in their paper on the importance of the interpersonal in creating a viable art market, there are many mitigating circumstances in an art center's success. Building models and circumstances such as Pupunya is really to look at a unique situation, one that cannot be expected to be replicated. Thinking otherwise is to ignore the unique historical underpinnings of Aboriginal art success. As Howard Morphy writes regarding the success of Yirrkala bark paintings, there is a tenuous thread that connected those events and collectors which produced a viable art market. Acknowledging art centers as a cross-cultural category includes recognizing those local art histories and complexities which give rise to the many different Aboriginal art centers that exist in Australia and also the different levels of success. So community work at PTA is not the same as community work in other art centers. Maningrida It's not just a matter of scale or priorities or resources. It is all of those things. The cultural archiving, the support of researchers and students, the production of dictionaries, all of these things are a few levels of the levels of cultural maintenance and community involvement MAC engages. Manigrita's total acquisition policy involves more Aboriginal people in the arts development program, and if MAC were forced to be more economically responsible, one of the first challenges would have to be to change their acquisition policy. Importantly, let me make it clear that I'm not proposing one model over another. PTA and MAC have different arenas of success and different priorities. One is not better than another. It is because of this difference, and the difference of all art centers across Australia, that it is problematic to choose one art center model over another. So this paper started out with trying to critically engage with the Senate report and complicating the need for a single art center model, while arguing that art centers need to be understood within a cross-cultural category. Such recognition would require a nuanced definition regarding what an art center is and what it should do and its priorities. Morphy states that the, quote, distinctive art styles associated with different community art centers are in part the product of local art histories, making people working together in a community and creating works that express their contemporary regional identity. This conference is about Indigenous participation within the Australian economy. To make a business economically independent and sustainable, and this is no small feat either, PTA's aggressive and disciplined approach is necessary. Given the huge amount of community involvement most art centers engage in, why jeopardize an art center's ability to function in a healthy sociocultural capability? As Judy Lovell has already demonstrated in her presentation of the Coringa Art Center, art centers are engaged with so much more than just art production, and yet are continually under government pressure to be self-funded. In investing in art centers, governments must take into account what the art center does and what it does not do in policy expectations of economic independence. Funding must take into consideration levels of community involvement in which the Commonwealth is not participating or present. Aboriginal community art centers must not be viewed through the same lens as a mainstream business located in downtown Sydney. Art centers are so much more than that, just a business, and that needs to be recognized. Thank you.
Excuse me. Thanks very much, Gretchen. I really enjoyed that, and I think you very effectively exposed the flaws in the Senate committee's arguments. Just an observation about Papunya Chula. Pinaby's own recollection of Papunya Chula history and the history of the whole community and the outstation movement generally, people have always seen themselves as kind of initiators and drivers of their own return to country, and that art has been a pretty critical part of that in helping them to achieve their own ends. People explain it as not sitting around and waiting for the government to do things, that that they've really taken the initiative themselves to build their community and the art market. And I think you're quite right in saying that that's probably something quite distinctive about that individual community. I think it's recognised that in some other communities that same sort of desire to be seen as initiating is not there, where they've waited around for, and whether that's true or not, I mean that's just the way Pinaby look at their own history. I think that was really good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good feedback. Is there one more question? Yes, there is. And then I think we'll finish up.
Yes, not really a question. It's a brief and ironic comment that at the Selling Arms Forum that we had here earlier in this year, a government-instigated business development organisation suggested that Arakoon could develop their particular business by designing their sculptures on paper and sending them out for some sort of mechanical production to be returned for paint-up.
So nice.
Sometimes the artists and the art centres know best.
Yeah. Well, I actually plan on going to Arakoon to buy one of their sculptures, so we'll talk about it when we get there.
That's a fabulous ending comment.
Thank you
very much, Gretchen.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.